This is Dane Herbat with Travis County. It's 1:30 and I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for January 12th, 2021. Item number one in the agenda is a roll call. Management, can you please lead us through?
Yes, this is Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton and I'll lead the roll call. Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos De Matos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Colemorgan, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Present.
And Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
And Sid Falk, Gatton's attorney.
Here.
A quorum has been established.
Okay, this is Dane again. Moving on to agenda item number two, citizens communication. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
No, sir.
And agenda item number three, review and approve the minutes from the board meeting of December 15th, 2020 in your packet.
This is Sarah. I'm stating for the record that Bruce Hermes from City of Austin is present. I'm not sure if I missed you in the original roll call, Bruce.
No, I just got on. Yes, Bruce Hermes is here now.
Okay.
This is Dane. Question for management. In my packet, I'm not seeing the minutes. Possible that I downloaded the wrong one?
Dane, this is Sarah. Did you download from the website or from the SharePoint site?
From the SharePoint.
Are any other members missing the minutes?
This is Jaime.
This is Dane. Disregard. I found it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Disregard. This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of the December 15th special call meeting of the Board of Directors as presented.
And this is Steve. I second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes from December 15th board meeting. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Yes, Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
Bruce Hermes, City of Austin.
Aye.
John Colemorgan, Austin ISD.
Aye.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Aye.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
This is Dane. Moving on to agenda item number four is the consent agenda. Are there any items that anybody'd like to discuss? Or if not, the board's willing to entertain a motion.
This is Gary. Motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
This is Dane. We have a motion and a second to approve agenda item number four, which is the consent agenda items. Is there any further discussion? Okay, management, can you please lead us through another vote, please?
This is Sarah, and I'll lead the roll call vote. Steve Pyle, DIR.
Aye.
J. John Cole Morgan, Austin ISD.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Aye.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Aye.
Bruce Hermes, City of Austin.
Aye.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
That's a unanimous approval.
Thank you, Sarah. Agenda item number 5, moving right along. Board Chairperson Update 5A is the Gatton Pole Attachment Agreement Revision.
Yeah, so for this one, this item is being brought because management received a recent request to attach to two Gatton poles by a company called Extinet. And during discussion of the agreement with Gatton Legal, several items have been brought up and discussed or edited. So there's a new red line version that I sent out to the members on January 6th to give them some time to review during the Gatton board meeting. So in a nutshell, basically we've administered Gatton pole attachment agreements in the past. When Sid did this review, he was able to point out a few items and that related to the fact that, you know, going forward, if we wouldn't possibly want to make this more in line with what the future may entail as far as other companies attaching to Gatton poles, and he basically shored it up and at the same time covered Gatton liability to a greater degree from what I've read and seen. I, as a network manager, I am fine with the way this has been revised 100%. We may get some kickback on it from this company, and this will be the first company we issued to as this new agreement stands. And Sid, if you'd like to add something to that.
Yeah, this was an opportunity and maybe a necessity to review the agreement. This hadn't come up for a long time, so I looked through it and it's basically the guts of it are basically an adaptation of something that AE uses. And so there were lots of references to electrical power lines and stuff like that and other provisions that needed to be cleaned up so that it really described the situation with Gatton and not with AE. And in doing that, I also noticed, as Frank said, that there were provisions in there that on things like indemnity and costs that really weren't as complete as they should be. I looked back through our Blue Bonnet agreement where we were on the Blue Bonnet poles, which was much more elaborate, and decided that there were a few things that were in there that we probably ought to mimic in ours. And so I basically cleaned it up and tried to make it tighter, cleaner, and a little more protective of us. I don't think any of the changes are monstrously substantive. They're more cleanup and clarification. But I think going forward, it's probably better to have an agreement that's more adapted than the old version was to Gatton itself.
Sorry, I was speaking into a muted mic. So yeah, like I said, this is Sid and I spent quite a bit of time on this together, working to shore this up, going back and forth. We spent, I think, at least 2 to 3 weeks on and off touching base on it. And I'm very comfortable with how it's worked out to be, and I've reviewed it a few times myself. And I don't see any issues with it. If any of the members have any, now's the time to speak up. Other than that, we're seeking to gain approval for it today so I can move it forward to that company that's in need of it or that has requested it. And this will be an opportunity to see what if anything they come back with.
This is Dane. Point of clarification, are you looking to approve the updated language or are you looking to approve the effort of going back to review it? Sorry if I missed that.
Yeah, I'm looking to approve getting the approval of the revision approved. And that's, you know, so Sid, you know, in speaking with Sid, he thought that, you know, being this is a, you know, an agreement that Gatton owns, you know, we need to get it in front of the board members and gain approval for the revisions that him and I have made to it. That's what we're seeking.
Yeah, this is in all practical purposes, and in fact, a contract. And state law is such that as a practical matter, contract's not valid with a governmental entity unless the governing body approves it. So at the very least, even if you delegate authority to network management to execute these things in detail, if they're not, you know, horrendously going to cost a huge amount of money, a contract for any kind of obligation has a different process. You want to approve the form that we're going to use, or really hadn't had the governing body's blessing. So that's what we're asking for today. And if any of you have looked through the red line and have any questions about any part of that, I'm glad to address that, although we'll probably need to move to executive session for that conversation.
This is Jaime. I have a question. Would this agreement allow Extenet to install small cell devices on Gatton poles, or is this just for cable only?
As written, it's cable only.
Okay.
This is Dane. Seems like a prudent thing to do, and most of the language that I've reviewed here looks like it is appropriate and justified. So I have no issues with this. What does the rest of the board think?
My apologies. This is Frank. My apologies. I completely dropped out there when Jaime was asking this question, but we can move forward.
Ms. Bruce, I think we should move forward.
I didn't review it with our legal, but it looked pretty straightforward to me when I read it. This is Bobby Siri.
This is Jaime. I'm still reading through some of the terms. Sid, I'm looking at the assignment language. Is it reading what I think it says, that Gatton has to approve any assignments if Extenet was to be acquired by another company or sold to another company?
Sid, you want to speak to that?
I'm sorry. I was playing with the mute button. Jaime, what page are you on?
It looks to be section 13.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right. There's
that's what I recall.
The 13.1 is the exception to that general principle, and it says that if we authorize it, let's see. They can transfer or assign the agreement to an affiliate or subsidiary. But other than that, it doesn't look like there's any ability to just transfer it to a true third party.
So they could only transfer it, this is Jaime again, only transfer it to a current affiliate or current subsidiary?
Well, if they acquire another subsidiary. I don't think we limit it to current, but it has to actually be a legally affiliated entity and not a third party.
Gotcha. I guess my concern would be if it got reassigned to an entity that doesn't have reciprocal pole attachment agreements with Gatton, I would maybe take a little exception to that.
Well, one possibility is, even if there is an occurrence like that that gets somehow in gotcha kind of a position. This thing renews, and we don't have any obligation to do that. So,
that's true.
Routes anyway.
Yeah, it's only 5 years, I think.
Well, I think they still have to have our. Yeah, I think they still have to have Gatton approval. If I remember that correctly, what it's stating there in 13.1, I may be incorrect there, but I'm pretty sure what 13.1.A speaks to what you've brought up, Jaime, but it also the, let's see, I'm only looking at what screen was is by Gatton written notice such a transfer assignment. So it speaks to written notice. And then,
in principle, if there is no legal problem with the transferee affiliate to operate in the city, which is what the first sentence deals with, the second sentence says all they've got to do is give us notice.
Okay.
But that's fairly typical of almost all kinds of contracts in the sense that a successor in the interest is where you usually see these things come up. You typically do not prohibit transfers of these kinds of contracts to a successor in interest who's bought the business, for instance.
Right.
And similarly, parents, affiliates, subsidiaries under common ownership, you don't really care generally whether they get transferred there.
All right. Okay.
And at this point, we're really talking about two poles.
Yeah.
For these guys right now. So.
This is John. Do we need to have everybody who signed pole attachment agreements redo a contract since we've redid the wording?
That was going to be the conversation Frank and I had next, and we would do that at the next time they needed to renew, or we could ask them to execute this and replace the existing agreements. But that's, we need to do an inventory of who's on our poles where before we undertake that.
And when Sid said do an inventory, so we, Sid and I, this is Frank, so Sid and I have spoken about that question, John, and he's exactly right. And as far as the inventory goes, it's, we have that information. I just need to collect that. And, you know, prior to the conversations that him and I have going forward.
Understood. And do we have revisions for this document so we don't mix it up with the old documents?
Sorry, what was that question, John?
I just want to make sure that we've got revisions to the document so that we keep a running history of previous versus
revised. That's why I created a red line on this one so that everybody could see the changes. And I, for one, retain those things.
Perfect.
I think Frank does too, so that we can see what each successive set of changes might have looked like.
That's correct. We do. We house the each revision in the originals.
Great. Thank you.
This is Dane. Do we have any other questions regarding the proposed updates? Do we have a motion?
This is John. I'll move to adopt the revised Gatton pole attachment agreement as outlined.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the proposed changes to the Gatton pole attachment agreement. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, would you please lead us through a vote?
This is Sarah. I'll lead the roll call vote. Steve Pyle, DIR.
Aye.
John Colmorgan, Austin ISD.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Aye.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Aye.
Bruce Hermes, City of Austin.
Aye.
Robert Sadler, LCRA.
Aye.
And Jaime Guerra, UT.
Aye.
That's a unanimous approval.
Thank you, Sarah. Moving on to agenda item number 5B, Gatton Cap Metro Agreement.
This is Sid, just a short update there. Back in the late spring, early summer, Cap Metro forwarded a form crossing license agreement to Frank, and I spent some time getting a version of it in Word. Did a red line set edits, which I ran by Frank and I think a couple of other people. Sent it over there, and that was when we discovered they don't even look at that stuff until they have a application in hand. And as I understood it at the time, with engineering reviewed and approved. So we sat while all that got done. In the meantime, when that got to the point where they were ready to talk about the crossing license, the Cap Metro contact let me know that he was going to revise the form to include some provisions related to where the government was the licensee, and sent me that, which I have then redlined and sent back. It's essentially the same set of changes. Sent that to him last week, reminding him that we were in a bit of a hurry. And I will check with him this week to see where it is, but we're waiting on their legal department review. And I'm hoping that if they have any issues, they'll contact me and we can talk them through rather than trading drafts. And I'll put that in his ear as well again. So that's where we are on that, waiting, but I'm optimistic that it won't take very long now.
This is Dane. Thanks for the update, Sid. We are, Travis County is very, very interested in getting this done. We have a huge project that we're spanning all the way from Manor all the way over to West, Northwest Austin, and connecting, picking up a few sites. So this is a big project for us. So anything that we can do to help would be appreciated. Is there any further discussion on the Cap Metro agreement? All right, moving on, 5C, draft guidance for the entity specific projects.
Yeah, so this one is an agreement, and it has been reviewed in several previous meetings. We were waiting Sid to receive responses from the members. I know that I've been copied on a few of those. Most recently, Bruce had given an update on where the City of Austin was at with it. As of the last board meeting, Sid had received several responses from the members. So, Sid, I don't know where we're at with this. If you would give an update to it.
Yeah, thus far, I have received responses from three of the entities. Travis County responded way back when. AISD has responded, and the city has responded. And I've actually had correspondence with Clark Cornwell, who is, again, you will remember he was the city's guy on the Convention Center NOC agreement and amendment. And he had a question about an objection to certain of the language concerned about sovereign immunity waiver. And I've suggested alternative language and I'm waiting to hear back from him. What's important really, though, is that I have not heard from the other four entities. And the question, is what do we need to do to get review responses from the rest of you so that I can get this thing in a shape that I think everybody will be able to approve.
Sid, this is Jaime. I sent you some comments from UT on October 27th via email.
Well, I must have missed it. No, I will look for it, and if I can't find it, I will holler at you.
I'll just forward it again, just to be safe.
Okay, October 22nd.
27th.
Sir, this is Steve. I need to follow up with our legal. I sent it over to them, but I haven't got a thing back, and I'll follow up today.
If you need it, I've got a list of NAG statements that you can use.
I may need them.
Sid, this is Bobby with LCRA. Our legal's reviewed, and they didn't have major concerns. I'll get you something back.
One of the basic comments seems to be, of course, these are going to have to be negotiated whenever one of these special project situations come up. And because it smells and acts like and is an interlocal agreement, in effect, they have to be approved by the governing bodies. But that's certainly true, and we contemplated that at the get-go. So I think in those respects, those particular kinds of comments are not problematic.
This is Dane. So it sounds like, Sid, you probably need a little bit of time to review the comments made from UT, and we're expecting something back from Bobby. So we're probably not in a position to make an approval at this time, but I would assume at the next board meeting, we'll probably be in good shape, or at least hoping to be. Does that sound agreeable?
That's certainly fine with me, whatever the board wants to do.
This is Bruce. It's certainly all right with me.
Okay. I guess we're, the rest of the board, I'm going to take your silence as agreement. Having said that, we'll go ahead and keep moving on the agenda. We're at 5D, which is the property damage claim against the City of Austin.
For this property, damage claim, and it's approximately for $55,000. Just as a reminder, this is where we were dug up by the City of Austin Water Department, had our fiber damaged, and have been trying to work to a resolution to get our claim funded to us. So in the last tech or board meeting, I reported that I had met I believe the week prior with Austin Water, and this was prior to, the Christmas holiday. And out in the field, when I met with them on that day, I was also there with our maintenance contractor, and there was some discussion regarding the claim. And it, basically what came out of it in a nutshell is the manager, the supervisor there on site that authorized the conduit to be cut. At that point, it was an unknown utility conduit. They discovered it was us. At that time in the field on August 26th, he made the decision to cut into the Gatton conduit. And he made a statement in the field that he would never make that mistake again. We talked about pricing regarding a manhole, a maintenance hole down the way quite a bit. I agreed to remove $1,500 off the damage claim because the maintenance hole he was referring to, there was a cost originally in there for approximately $1,500 where we had to uncover our maintenance hole because over time it had been covered up from the road work there that had been completed without our knowledge. And I understood from talking to him and talking to their group that we would have to do this at some point anyway to access our maintenance hole. This is something we should be looking for at all times internally. So with that agreement, that they left the field in a meeting, in that meeting we had with them in the field, at the supervisor level, that they would get this claim taken care of. So they never directly said that. That was the feeling I had leaving there. I'm sure our maintenance vendor felt the same way. It seemed like a done deal. Since then, we have had the Christmas break, and then we had New Year's, and I hadn't been getting any responses, and I chalked that up to thinking, well, everybody's on break, maybe people are out of the office. So the week after New Year's, I emailed a higher I believe he's a director with Austin Water Department. I'm not sure if that's his official title. It's something to that level. I emailed him directly and let him know the steps of our claim process have been exhausted at this point. And that we were going into this board meeting today, and that basically litigation is a potential outcome, depending on how the board chooses to proceed, because that's where we're at and in part of the options of our claim process and policy that must be followed. So he immediately replied, said, he replied within just a few minutes, said, Frank, I'm out of office. I'll talk to the attorney on Monday and try to get back with you. I emailed him yesterday, didn't get anything back from him at all yesterday. So the way I see this is, between now and the next board meeting, we may, or if we feel like this funding is that important to us right now, we could call a special board meeting and make the decision prior to the next tech meeting. I don't see it necessary from a budget standpoint myself. Or we see if the claim is paid between now and the next board meeting. If it's not, you're going to see this on the agenda again, and we'll need to discuss, most likely in executive session, how to move forward with this claim. That's where we're at with it.
This is Dane. My initial thought on this is that the city's always paid up. I'm assuming that this can be handled without the use of litigation or anything like that. Having said that, I agree with you. If we go beyond the next board meeting, then we might have some problems. So what does the rest of the board think?
This is Jaime. I agree with that approach.
Yeah, that's scary.
I agree as well.
Well, very good. I'll keep in contact. That's the first response I've had from that level with the water department. So I'm glad to have had that, and I've emailed them yesterday, and I'm awaiting a response, and I'll keep the board updated, as well as keep in contact with the Austin Water Department in regards to this. And I've always thought that this would be paid, because it's so obvious to me that, you know, they caused the damage and they didn't follow the proper utility Austin code procedures when coming across an unknown utility. That's very clear. So we'll keep moving forward with this one, and I'll have an update for you in the next board meeting.
Okay. This is Dane. Thank you. Appreciate it, Frank. Let's go ahead and hit 5E, property damage claim against Asplund.
Just a status report today. Gunner asked the attorney for Asplund for some deposition dates and times for a couple of the folks he wants to depose, including the, I don't think they call him the foreman, but the foreman of the work unit. And in response, they've asked for dates to depose Frank and Carlos. At least at this point, neither side has offered up dates. We were waiting to get dates suggested from them. And Gunner is going to contact the attorney and remind her that she needs to propose some dates to depose their people. That's where we are.
This is Dane. Are there any questions for Sid?
This is Bruce. Was there any discussion about offers, or do we need to go into executive session?
Gunner did not indicate that they had made any response, and I will remind him to ask about that. So no, there's no response to discuss.
All right.
Okay, this is Dane. Sounds like we can move on in the agenda. Appreciate the update, Sid and Frank. Moving on to agenda item 6, network managers update and the Gatton backup NOC status update.
Okay, where we're at with this one is, it appears to me that there's a hiccup in the city finance group and the capital control office, and I've copied Bruce on the emails regarding this, and I think he's probably underneath the same. I don't want to speak for him, but I think he's probably underneath the same understanding I am. That this is something that's just got to be worked out. But what it is the funding for the project must be placed in the project's FDU folder, and it's not currently there. So we use a system called eCaprice, and they cannot, the city can, we cannot execute the contract with the vendor, the awarded vendor for this until this funding is available. I've been working with Public Works and the CCO office here at the City of Austin to get this funding moved to this proper folder. And the person that I've been working with CTM Finance is very on top of things. They're very, you know, highly successful in what they do. And so they are now involved with the CCO. So what it's really come down to, it's between CTM Finance and the CCO office to get this funding available. I don't know if this had happened before. I don't know if everybody's aware of it, but when we did the funding for Public Works previously, so that they could access the funding to pay Public Works to do the work that their portion is, we had this problem, the same situation, but it went real smooth. It didn't take but a couple of weeks to get this done. Now we're looking at over a month that this still hasn't taken place. So my only alternative is just to speak to Bruce about it. Also Ruben about it, see if I can get some assistance, because this is looking like it probably will need to be escalated if it doesn't happen soon within the City of Austin to make sure this gets done. Maybe some higher ups at CCO can be involved. We already have the executive team, being Bruce, involved with it from the CTM side. The reason I say if it doesn't happen soon is because the project is currently under City of Austin plan review for its permitting. I did catch an email this morning of an update to this, that it has made it to plan review for permitting, and Allison updated me on this today. I didn't seek that update. She just let me know that that's where it's at. So that's a good thing, because it's moving further along. Now, what happens is, if this FDU folder does not get the funding in it and we get this permit, we're in a bind. We can't roll, and we need to be rolling. So before the permitting gets done, our goal is to get this funding, somehow work with the City of Austin folks to get this funding in this FDU folder, and to make that happen as soon as possible. So to allow for the time that's necessary for the contract to be executed and move forward. I've expressed, you know, my concern. Spalglass has been very open and transparent about the fact that they will stay with the bid that they originally sent, that was opened, originally sent over to us, and it won't need to change. But there is a time limit that they've, you know, that on the original bid. It sounds like they're willing to go with the bid as they've given it, as long as we can get them that contract executed as soon as possible. If this thing goes out another 2-3 months, that would be in question, in my opinion. Not from what they've said, but just the way I know how business works and these contractors work, contracts work. If you let something on the table too long and you don't take advantage of it, it would be a shame to have to go out to rebid this with everything we've done. So this is a very important topic. So my plan is to escalate this, you know, probably starting midweek, if I don't get responses that I need to get from emails I've sent.
Right, Frank, this is Bruce. Frank, you and I will work on this then.
Sounds good. And that's only update I have on that right now. Is there any questions? Okay, here or none, I'm going to move to the status, the project status report. I don't have any updates for you on page one. On page 2 of 3, I do have a couple here to go over with you. We have some Gatton completed projects. We did successfully complete an A1N upgrade project, which is segment 12. This is our first one to get completed. It finally passed through Austin Energy and everything that takes. And that one's completed, and we have Super Ring North, that temporary repair that took place last week on Cameron Road. This is actually where another a telecom contractor actually bored straight through our conduit. Our conduit was located. So we're following that claim process for that to take place as well, to be paid as well. We're just in the early phases of it, being it just occurred. And then another thing important to note on here is, let me see where it's at. It's for you, for everybody, it should be on page 2 of 3, the third row from the bottom. It's called A2N Super Ring South, Level 3, City of Austin, Tie, 425 West Riverside Drive. This project is going to be brought to the next tech committee meeting. As you guys are aware, we, as you all should be aware, we hold these developer-driven future projects in here. And this one in particular, I think we've been working on since 2017, at the latter part of 2017. And it's come to fruition now. The project will take place. We've been working closely with our contractors and the developer on this. And it's, you know, you get this sense from the developer that this is, and one in particular, is a hot and heavy project for them. I think that's the overall sense we get from all developers we work with, which is understandable. However, for this one, for us, there's a difference in the fact that this is a very large project, and it involves two entities, being UT and the City of Austin separately, and then it also involves two rings that need to be taken from aerial to underground. This is right there where the Hooters has been. I don't know if you've seen that. Everything is taking place down there, but at Riverside and First Street at that intersection, that's quite a bit of fiber we have going through there. So we'll be bringing that and presenting it to the upcoming tech meeting, and we suspect it'll move up into Gatton at the active developer driven projects. And let's see, I think I have, scroll down here, we have the three entity specific projects that have been completed since our last meeting, which is the AISD Mancheca renovations, AISD Ann Richards School, and Travis County Probate Court node insertion. Those were completed as well. And that's it. That's all I have for this project status report for this meeting. Is there any questions? Hearing none, Sarah, would you move into the next one, please?
Yes, next this item. Is Sarah. This is Sarah. For the job budget tracking report, there have been no changes to this report. We're still tracking 32 jobs totaling $1.67 million. We're expecting $270,000 back in recoveries. So if all of these 32 projects are completed in this fiscal year, then we would be in the red by $75,000. Of course, we will be monitoring closely, and especially as we get closer to the end of the fiscal year, making a determination as to which projects will be completed in this fiscal year and which projects may potentially move to the next fiscal year. If there is an additional transfer needed, we will come to the board for approval for that. And that's all that I have. Please let me know if you have any questions.
This is Dane. Sounds like there's no questions. Thank you, Sarah and Frank. Moving on to agenda item number 7, executive session. We didn't have anything today to discuss. So agenda item number 8 is the discussion and possible action regarding the financial report.
This is John. You all should have the month ending November 30th in your handouts for your review. There wasn't much changes that have happened. We have done some transfers of dollars to cover some of the project's expenses. Otherwise, you are all free to take a look and let me know if you have any questions.
This is Dane. Does anybody on the board have any questions regarding the budget? Okay, hearing none, agenda item number 9, review and review of the action items for network management. Okay, for this, today, Frank?
No, for this one, I don't. I did get a message from Bruce, and I believe Bruce would like to say something.
Yeah, are you done there, Frank? Anything?
Yes, no action items from this meeting.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, is this a good moment?
Yes, sir. I was just going to kick it over to you right after this. This is great.
Okay. Yeah, this is Bruce speaking. I wanted to let you all know this will be my last attendance with the Gatton board. As a board member, I will be leaving the city of Austin at the end of this month, and I'll be going to work for the state again in February.
Where are you going, Bruce?
I'll be going to the Texas Department of Agriculture.
TDA. Well, I'll yes. probably be working with you a little bit.
I'm sure we will be. So, you know, certainly I've really enjoyed working with this board, and I'm, you know, I hope to see you all in some capacity sooner or later. And as I move away from y'all, I still would treasure the opportunity to chat with you from time to time.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it.
Been a pleasure working with you, Bruce. It's Jaime.
Thank you, Jaime.
Bruce, this is Dane. Thank you so much for your service. I know that, you know, being a Gatton board member doesn't come with fame, riches, or glory, but you've really served us well, and you've gotten a lot done for us, especially with the internal workings of the city. So much, much, much appreciated.
Well, thank you, Dane.
Do we know who you will be working with?
Well, we do have Ruben Reyes is set up as an alternate for now, and that's so. And in the meantime, there's that in place. And Ruben, in fact, I thought Ruben was going to be joining us today to kind of get us, you know, just kind of get a status. And then for what it's worth,
I'm here, Bruce.
Oh, there you are. Okay. And for what it's worth, as far as interaction with this board, Victor Carr will be the acting deputy CIO for IT infrastructure after my departure. And he's already kind of getting his feet wet on some of the things that I've been dealing with. This is one that I still have to give him a good solid briefing on, but I feel very confident that city role, and then also working with Frank is solid. I feel like it's in a good place. So thank you for joining us, Ruben.
You're welcome.
All right, this is Dane. So yeah, sad to see you go, Bruce, but definitely excited for your next opportunity. That's great.
Thank you.
All right, agenda item number 10 is confirmed date, time, and location of the next board meeting, February 9th, 2021, via teleconference. And my assumption is that Sid will keep us posted as to the governor's provision and making sure we're still able to do this.
This is Sid, only if I'm faster than Sarah, who has been getting to
the good luck with that.
Quicker than I. But between us, you will know in plenty of time if there's a change. I doubt seriously there will be one.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to close the Gatton board meeting for January 2021 at 2:19 p.m. Thank you very much, everybody.